let's remember where we've been, because we can actually draw a straight line from Sif Aleph to Sif Beis to Sif Gimel, and then we're up to Sif Dalet. And it's particularly interesting because in the tour, the order is very different. Sif and Beis and Gimel are towards the end. So the Shulchan Aruch is in Sif Aleph, Beis and Gimel really sticking to the order of the Gemara. In Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch had raised the opening question of the Gemara, which is, what are the criteria by which we determine whether a given food is Bishul Akum susceptible or not? There have been some discussion about that. The Maskana de Milsum is that there are two conditions. There has to be Eino Nechal Kamo Shuchai, and the finished product is Olal Shulchan Malachim, and a food which has meet both those criteria is Bishul Akum sensitive. Then Sif Beis brought us to the next piece of Gemara, a couple lines down, Lamed Chesam and Aleph, and that was a question of, well, okay, Sif Aleph, we're talking about a single ingredient food. How about if you have a food which is a murkav, a food which is multi-ingredient, and some of those ingredients are Bishul Akum sensitive and some are not? So the Gemara had said, it's all a question of what the ikar is. Gemara discussed the kasa d'harsana, the sort of like a fish patty or fish grease patty, or a blend of fish brine and flour. So Gemara said, I would have thought that that it's mutter because the fish is the ikar, and that's talking about fish that's already processed enough that it's not a bishul akum problem. Kamash v'lan kimcha ikar, the ikar is a kamach in that food, and therefore it is a Bishul Akum concern. And we had discussed a number of the scenarios of that. I think we did not mention when we last week that beverages actually are a very significant example. Pri Chadash, actually, some editions of Shulchan Aruch have the Pri Chadash printed aside. The Pri Chadash actually raises this. The Gilyon Marsha on the bottom quotes this. As well, the first piece in Gilyon Marsha, it talks about Shtiyas Cafe, the Cafe Heiser, drinking coffee in a coffee house. So he says, you got to think about various issues about the milk and this and that, but Bishul Akum is not a concern. The question is, well, why not? Bishul Akum is not a concern. So the answer is, the Pri Chadash, I believe, talks about Jicatilia, which we call chocolate. Uh-huh. By chocolate, he means what the only item that used to be called chocolate until around 150 years ago was the drink. Solid, edible solid chocolate is relatively recent. So the question is, if you're going to drink chocolate milk or just hot chocolate without milk, I think the milk also is a more recent item. The question is that's not something you would have raw. So maybe that should be a Bishul Akum problem. So again, the kashrus of the ingredients has to be looked after. The kashrus of the equipment has to be looked after. But these Acharonim point out that neither coffee nor hot chocolate present a Bishul Akum problem because of Sivez, because it's a blend of different items. And the ikar is the water. That's the principle in Hilchos Brachos as well. Tosus raises a question, how come we make a shahakal on beer? For one who chooses to drink beer, a choice I don't really understand, but it's neither here nor there. If one chooses to drink beer, so the bracha is shahakal. Tosas wants to know why. It's the Yesh Baruch HaMishnah Nidagim. It involves, barley is actually a pretty significant, very significant element of the beer. So why don't you make a mizonos on beer? So a number of Rishonim address this, different answers. Tosas, I believe, is one who says, and the water is the ikar. In a beverage, when you have a beverage, obviously wine is unique. But other than that, when you have a beverage that's a blend, so we see water as the ikar.
That's also why we say that hot chocolate is not a problem of Risha.
Not a problem of
Risha.
Oh, that's why it's not a problem of Risha. Interesting.
They call it Mayimakurim.
Interesting. I thought that meant that it's so, not a question of ikar, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. I thought it was just a question of bimitzias. It's so thin that to be chayv and lisha, the product has to have more viscosity. we differentiate in Hilchos Lisha between Lisha as a Melech HaShabbos and other contexts also, in terms of definitions of Lechem. We differentiate between a Blila Ava and Blila Raka. Between a Blila Ava is a dough, which is not pourable, and Blila Raka is a batter, which is. So it may be that Lisha to create a Blila Raka in general is Drabbanan, not for now, but certainly if it's so thin that it's a liquid, then a little bit like Trisa in the Brachas context. That's interesting. Maybe Lisha also, it's governed by this. Be that as it may, certainly Hilchos Brachas, Tosfos raises the notion that the water is the ikur, and that's what we say in a Bishlachim context as well. The water or the milk, once we're making hot chocolate, you know, the old-fashioned, the 50 years ago way, I don't mean the 200 years ago way, the 50 years ago, you heat up milk in a saucepan or in a microwave, and then you mix in chocolate, then the milk is the ikur. And neither milk nor water are Bishlachim sensitive for the obvious reason that they are both Nechalim Kemo Shehen Chaim. So that was Siv Beis. You have what the Gemara had said about a multi-ingredient food, that you follow the Ikar. And then Siv Gimel raised the question that the Rishonim raised, that Tosfos and others had quoted from the Rabbeinu Baruch Baal HaTruma, who said, well, the Gemara said that you follow the Ikar, but that's only when it's a blended item. But if you have distinct chunks within your food, you have what the Sephardi Rishonim call a panada, or empanada. What the Ashkenazim call a pastida, or a pastez, as Tosfos and Beitza calls it. When I posted this, I think I sent out to the Chevra some of the links, if you want to see. We know what these foods are. These are all names of medieval foods. Some of them have lasted Ayom Hazeh, like pasties in Scotland, I believe, or empanadas. So you have a filling wrapped in dough. So then Rabbeinu Baruch, quoted by Tosfos in several different places, Truth is Ray Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Baruch says that even though Rabbeinu Tam had given as an example application of Siv Beis, you have an egg challah or something of that sort. So there you say the eggs are the tafel. You don't have to worry about the fact that there's a lot of egg in this recipe. But if you actually have two distinct items that are wrapped together, I have some sort of a dough filled with fish or dough filled with meat, of a pie, so that's the problem. Then Rabbeinu Baruch says, not only even though from Hilchos Bracha's standpoint, I still consider this to be a single item, I don't make a separate bracha on the dough and a separate bracha on the filling. I just make a hamotzi and mezonos, depending on what sort of dough it is, and that's it. But here, bishalakim and brachas part ways, and that was the movement from Siv Beis to Siv Gimel. That if they're distinct items, then we no longer follow Iker and Tuffel for bishalakim purposes. Instead, we say, look, each one lives on its own. The dough is not on its own going to become Ostimitam Bishlakam, but the filling, the fish or the meat, will. And then Rabbeinu Baruch goes on to say, we saw the Baal Tosfos quoted in Chulin and in both in the Tosfos of Chulin, Tosfos and Beitza, and that's what Shulchan Aruch quotes. Not only is the filling treif, but now the dough becomes treif also because it was in contact with the filling. And we had left off here in the following, with that point. The way the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, he says you have the dough and the filling, or you have the beef and broccoli, so even the broccoli, even the dough becomes problematic because the flavor of the meat or fish was nivla in. Now what's interesting is that Tosfos and Beitza had raised two opinions on this question. They say, why is a dough treif? Is a dough treif because it absorbed the flavor of the meat? Or is a dough treif because there's going to be actual meat grease and chunks of meat on the surface of the dough? That's why Tosas and Beitza, specifically in Beitza, Tosas and Beitza says that the Rabbaya Tosfos who disagree with Rebbeinu Baruch, and Rebbeinu Baruch said you got to throw everything out. But Tosas says, well, yesh, some hold no. You could peel away the dough and scrape the top layer. At the top layer, Bamash has the be'en of the schmaltz. But if you scrape away the top layer, then the yesh omrim and Tosas and Beitza, then it's mutter. So what that's, and this is the turning point from Sif Gimel directly to Sif Tes Zayin, and indirectly to the very next Sif, to Sif Dalet. Because what Tosus is raising, what Tosus is raising is a concern, the question of whether Tam Kiker applies to Bishalakim or not. Because you got to wonder, why would there be those who say that it's mutter to scrape the top layer? I mean, the meat's treif, the fish is treif, and you just baked it for half hour, an hour, whatever it is, together with the dough. So this is the ABCs of Yerodea. The two foods are cooked together. There's an asinus tam for one, another list is a bishul b'shishim. And the bishul b'shishim, which clearly is not. So
doesn't this come back to the whole question then of why is bishul akum not good? Like, why is it?
Right.
Is it really treif? Or is it just not kosher?
So that's what's
interesting. That's how I would view it. Is it treif or is it not kosher?
Yeah, so that's what this gets into.
That's why I think that's the difference, is the machlokas is whether if you say it's treif, then the dough is treif. If you say it's not kosher, well, then you'll say, well, why is it not kosher? Well, it's not kosher because a guy made it. And then, maybe the Belios then are not kosher.
Right. So that's what's interesting. Tosfos.
That's why I would. That would be my Hakira.
Yeah, Tosfos. Tosfos raises the question. Tosfos doesn't give a hesber. The Ra'ah does. The Ra'ah does. The Rashi and the Ra'ah. The Sfaradim get involved in this as well. The Rashba and the Ra'ah, the Rashba in his Taurus Abayis, and the Ra'ah in the Bedek Abayis, clever names. L'chazek is Bedek Abayis. The Ra'ah said there are cracks in it. The Rashba wrote a sefer of the halachas of the house, Kashros and Nida and so forth, and his contemporary, the Ra'ah, they were both, the Rashba and the Ra'ah were the two primary, if not the two primary, Talmidim of the Ramban, and they were Talmidim as well of Rabbeinu Yonah. Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah were contemporaries in Sfarad in the late 1200s. In the 1200s into the 1300s, their prime two Talmidim are the Rashba and the Ra'ah, as well as obviously others, Rabbeinu David and Rabbeinu Nachman, the son of the Ramban. And then the Rashba and Ra'ah in turn shared Talmidim, the most famous of whom was the Ritva. So the Ramban, Rashba, Ritva are three generations in a row. I believe the Ritva actually, although the Rashba tends to be more famous to us than the Ra'ah, so when you learn Masechtas, we have Chedusha Rashba far more often than we have Chedusha Ra'ah, but when you look in the Ritva seems to have been primarily a Talmud of the Ra'ah, more than the Rashba. That's what they point out. He refers to the Ra'ah as Mori, my Rebbe, Stam. He wants to call the Rashba, he'll say Mori HaRashba. He was also a Talmud of the Rashba, but he was primarily Talmud of the Ra'ah. The Rashba took over, I think it's usually the Rashba was the primary Talmud of the Ramban, and he took over the Ramban. The Ramban was the Rav of Barcelona, and when the Ramban passed away, the Rashba succeeded him. So the Rashba, like his Rabbi the Ramban, wrote a major halacha sefer, in addition to Chidushim on Shas and all sorts of other sorts of svarim, or a major halacha sefer, and entitled it Torah HaBlank. Ramban wrote a sefer called Torah HaAdam, the halachas of illness and death and kriya and avelus and pikuach nefesh and medical practice and so on and so forth. The end of Yaradeya. The end of Yaradeya is built around the Ramban's Torah Sabayis. The beginning of Yaradeya is built around the Rajba's Torah Sa'adam. Various aspects of Kashrus and Natilas and Hilchas Nid, as well as several other topics. The Ra'ah felt that they were cracks. You're going to, the Torah of the house, yeah, there's a Bebedek Abayis. There are cracks in the house, and that's the Ra'ah's Hasagos on the Rajba called Bebedek Abayis. And then there are counter Hasagos called the Mishmaris Abayis, defending the house. Defending the Rajba's house against the attacks of the Ra'ah and the Bedek Abayis. There's an open question whether the Mishmeres Abayis is the Rajba or not. So often, many of the older Svarim assume that that whatever the Mishmeres Abayis is, that can be quoted as Rajba. That's not. There are those who assume that's not correct. Every once in a while, the Mishmeres Abayis, although he's defending the Rajba against the Ra'ah, every once in a while the Mishmeres Abayis seems to say something that's contradicted by the Torah's Abayis. That's not clear. Some Rishon or another wrote the Mishmar Sabayis, whether it was a Rajba or not. So the Ra'ah, the Rajba and the Ra'ah go at it. The very, very central issue. One aspect of which is this question. This Machlokas, Rabbeinu Baruch and other Balei Atosis and Beitza, whether Blios of Bishalaka make treif or not. So the Rajba explicitly aligns himself towards the end. Gimel, Bayis Gimel, the Torah said Bayis divided into seven bottom. Each Bayis is subdivided into Sha'arim. So the last Sha'ar of the Bayis HaShlishi, Bayis Gimel, Sha'ar Zayin, covers Pasakim and then Bishalakim. It's the very, very end of the Bayis HaShlishi, the very end of the Bayis HaShlishi, Shashvi. The Rajba quotes Rabbeinu Baruch approvingly that when you have this pie, so the dough is treif also because it was Balea. And the Ra'ah earlier, in his Zabed HaKabayis, a couple pages earlier, he disagrees. And if you move down to the next generation or two, so the Ritva on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph and Avodah Zarah quotes both the Rajba and Ra'ah and seems to accept the Ra'ah. He says, the Rajba held that there's a Tom Kicker, the Ra'ah held not, and says, V'cheinira. He says, V'cheinira. And then the Ran, a generation or two after that, doesn't even quote, he takes the other approach. He doesn't even quote the Ra'ah, he just quotes the Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rajba, and he seems to be very clear. So this Machlokas, Rabbeinu Baruch and other Balei Tosfos, is also Machlokas Rajba and Ra'ah, and a generation of the common generations is Machlokas Ran, who seems to be strongly in support of the Rajba, and the Ritva, who quotes both, but tilts in favor of the Ra'ah. The Ritva does quote an interesting distinction. He says, although the Rishonim talk about Blias both into other foods, like this case of the pie, as well as into Kalim, you have a Bishalak, and that's what's explicitly discussed in the end of Shulchan Aruch, end of the Siman Shulchan Aruch, Sif Tazayin. So the Ritva already makes a point that the Shach will later make also, that there's a big difference between food and Kalim. Food, Kalim are typically fixable, unless it's Cheres. Food is not. You can't kasher food. It's either kasher or trick. The Kalim are kasherable. So Ritva says, look, there's more room to say, you know, maybe by Kalim we can, it's a little bit like Davar Sheish Matirin. By a kli, why rely on the Ra'ah who's mekel? It'd be kasherit, and you cover your bases. But by food, there's no kasherit. Either you're going to eat or you're going to throw it out. So that's why the Ritva seems to be open to saying, maybe on a food, I'll be mekel like the Ra'ah, but on a kli, why not be machmir? Why not be machmir like the Rajba, that there is tam ke'ikr, and there's a solution of kasher. But before we go further, as you were saying before, the Tosis doesn't give a hesber. The Ra'ah does. And the Ra'ah is actually fascinating. I don't know if you had a chance to look through the Ra'ah, or maybe afterwards this will whet your appetite. It's intriguing. And he ties together, he points at what the underlying issue is, along the lines of what you were saying, and lines up another 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 nafkaminos. And the way he gets into it is absolutely fascinating. he raises one shot. First, he raises what was a practical shot at the time. I did not explore the historical piece. It'd be interesting to find out. There is history behind this. This was a contemporary issue. He says that in the late 13th century, early 14th century Spain, there were these certified official ovens that you had to have. It seems like there was a legal issue. You couldn't just have your own. I don't know if it was a safety thing or had to do with taxes. I don't know what the angle was, but you weren't allowed to run your own oven. Your oven had to be registered. You had to have a registered oven registered with the local government. So the question is, we don't have the option of doing our own thing. It seems like you would show up with your bread at the bakery, and the baker would take your dough and give you back bread. That's what it sounds like. So the question is, we don't have a lot of options. That sounds like it's pasakim. Or is there a solution? The Rav says, the answer is, I have to give you a four-paragraph essay. And he says, before he even gets back to Bishalakim, he says, the first thing he says is, you know, there is a din that is an Isser. Amir Lakum is the name of an Isser. Amir Lakum is not the name of the Hetzer. This is Rabban of Amir Lakum. Rabban, I'm not allowed to ask a Nachri to do Malacha for me on Shabbos. However, Amir Lakum is a din Rabban with a number of kulas built in, some of which it shares with other Isser and Rabban as well. One of those kulas is chola. Chola she'en bo sakana. Chola she'esh bo sakana. Pekuch nefesh. Could do malacha myself as well. Pekuch nefesh is docha malacha Shabbos. But chola she'en bo sakana. There's no hazard. No suffix sakana either. But he's sick. Someone is can't function normally. He's 102 fever and he's in bed. He'll be fine in a couple of days. But right now he's sick. So I can't do a Jew can't do malacha. But I can violate various Issurim Drabanan Litzara Chola, including Amir Lakum. So I can ask the non-Jew to make chickens if it'll really help this fellow will feel significantly better if you can have a hot drink, if you can have hot soup. Right now we have no hot water left. So you can ask the Nachri to boil up water, gas and Nachri to make soup on Shabbos, Litzara Chola. So he says, well, that's an interesting vishalakam. One issue with the Nachri making soup is Amir Lanachri, Yisra Rabbanah. What would otherwise be an Yisra Rabbanah, Amir Lanachri? But there's another issue, which is how is it, what's it going to help? So the Nachri makes soup, chicken soup. Chicken soup is trait. Even if it's kosher chicken and kosher pot. But the Nachri just made chicken soup. That was chicken. So what's it going to help the Nachri? I can't cook on Shabbos. The Malacha, if he cooks on Shabbos, the food's going to be trade. Then you say, well, there's an obvious solution to that. It's the same way Sarachola is Matir, the Isra Rabbanan of Amir Nachri, Sarachola is Matir, the Isra Rabbanan of Bishalakam. So he says, not so fast. This is fasting. He begins with a lengthy proof, the Ra'ah, in Berak HaBayis, that this, it's true that Tzorech Chol is often Matar Drabanans, but he says, but it's never Matar and Isser Achila B'Drabanan. It's never Matar Machol Sasurus. And he shows many, many examples that Tzorech Chol is Matar Drabanans, but not Machol Sasurus B'Drabanan. So he says, so what does it help to tell the Nachri that I have a Heter Chola? Heter Chola isn't going to make the food kosher. So he says, he says, it must be that there's no Isser Bishul Akum if the guy made the food on Shabbos. So this is where he develops his theory. His theory, this is the grand chakira, the central chakira in Bishul Akum, is that whenever you deal with an Isser Drabanan, Bishul Akum certainly is, So you always have to, one of the major dynamics in any Issa Drabanan is the relationship between the Gidrei HaIsser, the Tzuras HaIsser, what the rules are, and the Tam HaIsser. What was the concern that motivated Chazal to make this in Drabanan? Typically, a first question when the Gemara is dealing with the newest device is Minayin Emili. A first question when the Gemara is dealing with the newest Rabbanan is my timer. I'm getting yeshiva this year. So the Mesechus Gittin opens with the Din Rabbanan. If you have a Shliach, brings the get in the Din Sayam, the Din Rabbanan, it's not enough for him to deliver the get Liara Isha, he has to say B'fanech B'fanechtam. The Gemara's opening question is my timer. And that becomes a fundamental machlok, is what reason drives it. So here, we had mentioned the first chabur that the Rashi does seem to have an alternative understanding of what the Tam of Bishul Akim is, but even Rashi himself in the Mishnah, and almost all the other Rishonim seem to predominate, almost unanimously we assume that we know what the reason is. The reason is chasnas. The other question is, okay, so the concern shows, the way the Gemara says explicitly by the other machals of Surah Lamav and Beis, assumed by Bishul Akim as well, Exerim Shem Chasnus, but the question is, if that's a Tama Isser, how does the Tama Isser relate to the Gidre Isser? How does the Tama Isser relate to the Surah Isser? To what extent do the rules reflect the underlying motivation. So usually, what we assume is that when the Chazal make a Din Rabbanan, it's below plug. That once Chazal established a Din Rabbanan, even if they were established, they established it for a reason. Chazal wouldn't and cannot make a Din Rabbanan just because. There has to be a problem that they're solving. But even though the Drabbana was created to solve a problem or to solve a set of problems, but we assume typically that once Chazal create the Drabbana, it now has a life that's independent of its original motivation. And once the Drabbana is crafted, once you have the Gidre Isser in place, so even if you happen to have a case where the Gidre Isser apply and the reason doesn't apply, Aser is Aser. Shechter points out, Shechter's final point, I think it's from the Mishkan Yaakov, in Tshuva, he says that the fact that the Dinim Drabanan are independent of the reason, they apply even in case the reason doesn't apply, or differently, will apply even at a point in time when the reason no longer applies. So that is patterned after the way Daraisas work. Gemara says in Beitza, there's several number of Masechtas, that when Chazal craft any given Issur Rabbanan, they'll try to use models and patterns and categories that already exist in the level of Daraisa, called the Tikkar Rabbanan Kein Daraisa Tik. And Mishkan Yaakov says it's not just about Issur Truman is patterned after RLVM, it's also a meta principle. The way Drabbanans as a whole operate is patterned after the way Daraisas as a whole operate. For instance, Mishkan Yaakov says, Daraisas are below plug. That's the sugi in the ninth paragraph of Metziah, that we paskin, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai disagrees, but we paskin like the Rov Tanaim, the lo darshin in time of Dekra. That even if you can figure out what the reason for a din Daraisa is, it's not a drasha. It doesn't regulate the application of the din. It's valuable and meaningful, to figure out what the time of Dekra is, the important key in Talmud Torah. It's an important way of developing and discovering the machshava of Torah. But the machshava doesn't drive the halacha. Machshava doesn't regulate the halacha. So even if you have a scenario where the machshava, the time of Dekra doesn't apply, the din will still apply. Lo darshina and time of Dekra. So Mishkan Yaakov says, Lo plug Rabbanon is patterned after Lo Roshin and time to come. Okay, that's the way the Rabbanons usually work. Every once in a while, you'll have an exception. So the Ra'ah says, I think this is an exception. I think that Bishul Akim and Machal Yakim in general, those Machal Yakim which are Mishum Chasnas, Bishul Akim and Yen Yakim and Pas Akim, they're all very much tied to the reason. And he actually demonstrates it. He said, and we had discussed this earlier, Tosis Ray makes this point, that the Gemara on Lamed Vav already begins to arrange the various Machalei Akum according to how severe a risk, chasnus risk they pose. Yein Akum has the greatest chasnus risk, Bishal Akum less so, Pas Akum even less so. So the several of the Biotosis already said, as does the Ra'ah, that's why Yein Akum has the fewest exceptions to it, Bishal Akum has more exceptions, and Pas Akum has even more exceptions, because the greater the risk, the fewer exceptions you build in, and vice versa. So the Ra'ah says, we know what you see from that. He's not the first one to point that out, that there's a spectrum, that the various Machalei Akum differ in terms of how great the risk is, and correspondingly how expansive the Isurim are. But he says, what you see from that is that apparently the world of Machalei Akum, it's not a low plug. The Chazal were very much crafted the details around the risk. So much so that the greater the risk, the greater the issa, the less the risk, less is. So there are all things, well, we could have disagreed with that, but there are all things, aha, you see from there that this and Machalei Akum are an exception to the usual rules of low plug. Now everyone agrees that in any din drabbanan, obviously you're trying to create a din drabbanan, you're trying to solve a problem. So you're going to try to craft rules, categories for the din drabbanan that basically fit the tzorech. It won't be a perfect fit, but Chazal will, because there are other considerations go into how you craft the din drabbanan. You want it to be kandaraisa, you want it to be relatively stable, relatively easy to formulate so that the din drabbanan will be durable. But lamaisa, you try to find the din drabbanan, you try to find the right category, the right gidreis, so that more or less fits the hole that you're trying to fill. But the Ra'ah's things, yeah, but here it's case by case, detail by detail. And then he goes on to, he talks about the din of Kavanah, which we'll get to Blinetta next week, which is a Gemara, and which Shulchan Aruch discusses Sefei. And then he begins to say, and this impacts also, let me give you a whole host of examples. And he's the one who said, and here he says, Chola b'Shabbos. Says this explains why Bishal. This explains why there's a hetzer of Mir LaAkum to tell a Nachri to cook for the chol on Shabbos. What's it going to help? It's going to be treif anyways. And I told you before that there's no hetzer chola on a machal hasuras rabbanon. The answer is this isn't Bishal Akum to begin with. Why isn't that Bishal Akum to begin with? Because it's such an unusual scenario's case, and it's actually one that highlights the fact that he's a guy. Because only a guy could cook for the chol on Shabbos, so there's already enough of a hecker. There's no iser bishalak. There's no the concern of chasnus is so reduced. No iser bishalak. And then he goes on to give several other examples. One of which is Caleb. He says, I think this is not just a question. I see it from the din of chola. The fact that we were matir bishul with Amir Lakum and bishul for chola is, don't you see that it must be, there's no bishul, it's bishul akum when the guy is mevashul b'chol b'shabbos. Why? Because that reflects what I'm seeing here, that whenever the shash chasnus is sufficiently reduced, there's no iser, because this is a plug, this is not a low plug. And he says, well, let me take that and run with it. I can explore other cases as well. He says, I understand the concern of chasnus. The Nachar gave me a nice piece of salmon. He gave me, so I can eat salmon with him. I can eat steak with him. I can have baked potatoes with him. We can have pasta.
Oh, no,
okay. So that's a significant concern of chasnus. What the Rambam had described. It's something that the Adam is Amin Chavero love. He's invited me over for a skirt steak. Okay. He's invited me over for grilled salmon. That's a significant social encounter. Olal shulchan lachem. Mashiach came potato chips. Potato chips, that's not so socially significant. We're not going to become such good. That's not going to be, yeah, that's not going to advance our friendship because he handed me a bag of chips. I mean, a little bit, but not quite the same. Sometimes you do friends share chips. Okay, but that's the way Chazal set it up. It has to be socially significant. So Ra'ah says, the flavor, so I understand, a piece of salmon is more socially significant and therefore a greater chasness risk than potato chips. But let's say it's not I'm not eating the salmon. The Nachri grilled the salmon, and that's the way Bishlach and we threw it out. But now I have a pan. So I didn't kasher the pan, and now I made scrambled eggs in the pan. Not the Nachri, I made the scrambled eggs. But the scrambled eggs were made in the pan that earlier today was used for the Bishlach and fish. You're telling me there's a normally should have said, look, the eggs have a tam dagim, the tray for dagim, the eggs have a tam bishalach, no problem. He says, what? The bits of flavor of fish, that's olal shulchan lach. So that there's a chash chasnas. If I eat the fish that the nachri gil, the chash chasnas. But I eat the eggs that I made, they happen to have a little bit of fish flavor in them. He says there's even less chash chasnas in the tam dagim than there is in the actual potato chips. So Ra says, of course there's no concern of tam keker because there's no chash chasnas. There's no chash chasnas. Another way of thinking about that is that the Rajba totally disagrees with that. The Rajba is quite explicit. He says, I mean, whatever the rationale is, but that was the rationale is the historical background. You want to know why the Chazal is Bishlakim is Mishum Chasis. And that will explain, you know, why they chose maybe even explains why they chose to limit it to Nechak Moshuchai. Okay. But he says, but once they set up that there is an Isser Bishlakim and these are the rules, that becomes Machal Sasturis Mijabon. It's treif. And from this point on, once the rules are set, the rationale is purely mm-hmm. question of history. And again, as with the Din Daraisa, time of Dekra, the time for this Rabban teaches me important Hashkafa. It teaches me that as we were talking about the other week, it clearly teaches me a principle of Hashkafa that I need to Heinam Levadad Yishkon, that I need to figure out in general. I need to figure out what are the right boundaries in terms of limiting my social interactions with non-Jews. True, the Rajba says, but it doesn't regulate the halacha. It's a chepta machal sasuris, like any other machal sasuris rabban. It's the same as a chicken cheeseburger. It's a chepta machal sasuris. It's no different than any other machal sasuris. That's what the Rajba says. Whereas Ra'ah says, basically, he's saying it's not, although I don't know if he uses this nosuch explicitly, it's not really a cheft machal sasuris. It remains merely, it's isser gavra. You're not allowed to eat bishalakim in a way that exposes you to risk of chasnas. The chashash chasnas for the ra'ah remains part of the gedr hadin, part of the definition of the din. So any time that the Bishul Akam doesn't really carry with it significant Ritzel Chasna is mutter. Because the whole issue is only not to eat in a way that expose you to Chash Chasna.
The Raya that the Ritzel brings the name Ra'ah, he says it's like, look, it's Gara Tvei Mi, like, in Ola Shalcham Alachem.
Right.
So which makes it sound like he's defining the theft of like a Blia as being something that is not Chasha.
Correct. Which is certainly true. I think Ra'ah himself might perhaps says that. Does he? Maybe he doesn't make that point. It's only the Ritva who makes that that Kal V'chomer. Yeah. You're right. It's only the Ritva. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It's only the Ritva. So he's saying if you take the bits, so to speak, the molecules of Tom Salmon on their own, that's not all Shulchan Aruch. The question is, that's fine, but the way the Bali Atosis said yesterday, right? Why you look at the Bali Atone? There's already the piece of eggplant, the piece of fish became treif. So once it's treif, it's blias wherever it goes. our treif. Why do I have to look at the? I don't have to open a new case. Let's discuss: are these blias in Ol Shulchan Aruch? It's irrelevant. The piece of fish was Ol Shulchan Aruch. That became treif. The issur was chal. Done. I don't have to re-adjudicate.
What does the Rashba do about the full Shehi Mosakon on Shabbos?
The Rashba... So maybe it's not. So then I don't think the Rashba ever addresses it, Beferish. But if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah raises, quotes this, in Sifcha Zayin, the very end of the Siman. It's not that we're being makel at tzarachola.
Never became trade.
She's giving you the lumdus. So that, I think it's the Vilna Gaon. Sivkat Membeis. Aval Harashba Chalakalav. I don't know if the Rashba, it could be wrong. I don't know if the Rashba actually writes it Beferish. If I remember correctly, Rashba never raises the issue. I think the Gra is just assuming.
The Rashba would say
that you mean because the Rashba is explicit about the underlying lumdus. This question of whether Tchasa is just the Tam. But what Chazal created is a normal garden variety, Cheftim Achal Siris Rabbanon, or no, Machal Yakum, Bishal Akum, Pasak, Mien Akum are different. It's an atypical style of a Din Rabbanon, and Chazal included the Tama Takana remains part of the Gerer Takana. So the Rashba is explicit where he thinks about that, the underlying Chakira. So the Gros says, okay, well, in that case, Chol B'Shabbos is the problem. Chol B'Shabbos is...
The Rashba must hold that that it's not okay. You can't ask the guy to cook for lunch. It seems like he's...
Correct.
He has no way around the answer.
So the... You look back at the Taz. The Taz tells you what the Gros was quoting. Baal in the Sivkan Tezvav. Baal Mishmeres Habayis, Shehu HaRashba, that's what we talked about before. So the Mishmeres Habayis responds to that device. Chalila v'chash lehutar fi l'chol atzma el be'esam tzorek b'vad, dahayna v'shabbos. Now, the other way to understand it, you could have said, by the way, which Rav himself recognized, you could have said, maybe Amir l'akum is mutil tzorek chola, only if you're not creating bishal akum. The Nachri could make hot tea. Tea is not a problem. You could have said, make sure if he's going to make chicken soup, it's hakul will be treif. The whole shame of no hati. You could have said that. Okay. The Ra'ar addresses it. He says, it doesn't sound like that. Okay. You could also have said, which it sounds like what the Mishmaris Bais does say. Remember, the Ra'ar begins with developing this big concept that Sorechol is makta many sun jarban and benever achilo. Could disagree with that. You could say no. Bishul Akum is a mutter. It is Bishul Akum, but the same way we're matter Amir Lachri Tzarachol Shem Yisakan. Oh, how matter Bishul Akum Lachol Tzarachol Shem Yisakan? Which, by the way, is a general question. Forget about on Shabbos. Let's say during the week. You have a Chol Shem Yisakan, and the only food we have in the fridge, he needs protein, whatever you know. The only food of what the Eibos Yisakan. There's no. He's not starving to death. He's not in danger. The only food that we have that will relieve his symptoms is something which is bishalak, or for that matter, some other machal sasuris. So the Ra'ah had a chumrah here, which is whenever matir machal sasuris, drabanan l'tzarech chol b'shem b'sakana. That's a debatable point. So that's what the Taz says. Taz says, yes, it will be mutter. It is mutter for the chola, but only on Shabbos. This is a special, because the Torah Chola. But once Shabbos is over, and now you can have a Jew cook for him, so they have no heter to clean the leftovers. He says, certainly, a healthy person has no heter to eat leftovers. The whole heter is Torah Chola. So again, that's the reverse. Whether the Rashba himself holds that way or not, again, it depends if the Rashba is the Mishmar Rashba, but presumably the Rashba would not accept the Ra'ah's set of assumptions. that Bishal Akum Bishav is Hector Gamor Liolamva, it never became us. So this is the Ra'ah. So Ra'ah develops this concept. The Ra'ah believes against the Rashba that this is a very atypical Din Rabbanon. And the Tama Takana plays in Amarish a case by case basis. Every scenario you're making this call. He, by the way, says that's the answer to the question which he had opened. He said this Pasporni, this concern they had in Spain of the government, you can only use government sponsored, government certified ovens for the bread. He says, okay. He says, since it's mechuki hamalchus, lepos kulam piton b'porni. Ain't other rashi like bo porni liatzma. You can't make your own backyard porni. It has to be one of these certified machines. So it says it's. He seems to think, well, that's going to be something. There isn't such a concern of that reduces the concern of. And that's the Kalim issue. And he says, in addition to Tzorech Ola, in addition, which we spoke about, in addition to Kavana, which we'll get to Blinair next week, and Sifhei, it's a Gemara, but he fits his idea into that Gemara. In addition to Tom Kik or Kalim, which we need to see in Shulchan Aruch, Sifta Zayin, and we already saw in Sif Gimel, he says there's another issue, which is, Ra says that I heard the name of Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Manoach, I think a not often quoted Rishon, that there's no din of Bishal Akum by Avdo Vishivchaso HaKnuim Lo. If a fellow owns an Eved Kanani, a Jew owns a Shivcha Kananis, and they're cooking in the house, is that a Bishal Akum problem? Lincoln freed the slaves. So this is irrelevant for us. At a time that slavery was permissible and extant, so the question is, you have an Eved Kanani in the house, you have a Shivcha Kananis in the house, do I say they can't cook? Maybe. Bishlachim. That's obviously a very, very significant question. Because one imagines that, at least for some of them in Shvachos, a significant part of their work would be cooking, if it's mutter, if it's not, then not. This is a big question. So the Ra'ah says, mutter. Why is it mutter? Because he's doing it derech kfiya. Chasnas, if he's doing it of his own free will, doing it as a gesture of goodwill, as a friend, as a neighborly gesture, he's inviting me over. Neighborly gesture, he sends over a baked potato. He sends over... Okay, so then, there's a concern of chasnas. This is a social act. But this, the Eved or the Shivcha working for the other, it's not a social act. That's a coerced act. The Ra'ah says, mutter.
Is it possible to say he's talking about Eved Kanuyim and they bring down Eved Hanischar?
Yeah. Good. So we're about to
say. They're not doing it because they love.
Good. So this is sort of a turning point. The question of Eved, because we're going to see that if you hold it that there's no concern of Bishal Akum by Avadim, there are four different reasons that Rishonim give why it might be mutter. So let's just one of which is this Ra'ah. So let's just sort of encapsulate what we've discussed so far, and then we'll turn the corner to talk about the various angles on Avadim. So just to remember, we have many Rishonim lined up on the Tom Kikker question. It's a machlokus among the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and it's also a machlokus among the Chachmei Sfarad, right? Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rashba and the Ran hold there is a problem Tom Kikker, and the Yeshomer Matosis and the Ra'ah and the Ritva hold then there's no problem of of Tom Kaker. The Ra'ah gave us a hesber that what's driving this question is it a low plug? Is it a regular chefta di sura, regardless of, even though there's no chash chasnus on the Tom itself, or no? The Tom of chasnus drives the application of the Isra on a case by case basis. And we said, not only is this relevant, one nafka mina in this chakira is Tom Kaker, but another nafka mina is Chol B'Shabbos. And a third nafka mina is Eved. So that's the Ra'az Heter Eved, is because after all, if it's Derech Kviya, so there's much less concern of Chasnas. Now, if you begin to look in the Beis Yosef of Darkei Moshe, the Beis Yosef of Darkei Moshe quote three other reasons. Interesting. The Beis Yosef quotes Ramban. Ra also quotes Ramban. Beis Yosef quotes Ramban that it's mutter, although he wasn't so excited about it, which the Ra also reports. Ramban, his Rebbe Mori Rabbeinu Moshe. That's the Ramban. Wasn't so excited about it. So Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban thought it's mutter because he's not a Nachri. He's Jewish. He has to keep Shabbos, he has to keep mitzvahs. Eved Kenani is chayv mitzvahs ki'isha. He's potter from mitzvahs eishas ma'agrama, but he's Jewish. Reb Chaim, the very beautiful and famous Reb Chaim, and the Sefer the Ramban points out that he thinks there's a machlokus, which may or may not be relevant here, he thinks there's a machlokus, Tosas, and Rambam, whether an Eved Kenani is full Kedushas Yisrael or not. The fact that Eved Kenani is Chayv Mitzvah Keisha, fully Jewish women are also obviously only Chayv Mitzvah Keisha, and they have full Kedushas Yisrael. Men and women have equal Kedushas Yisrael. So you say Eved Kenani has a full Kedushas as well. He happens to be Potter from Zermutzes. But detail. Or do you say no? The fact that Eved Kenani is Potter from certain mitzvahs is a symptom of the fact that fundamentally his Kedushas Yisrael is only partial. And Reb Chaim sees that reflected in the Machlokas, Tosas, and Rambam when Eved Kenani is Mishtachrer, and he becomes freed, he's supposed to undergo a Tvila. He already underwent the Tvila when he switched from being a Nachri to being Eved Kenani. He has to undergo a second Tvila if and when he switches from being an Eved Kenani to a freed Jew. But Reb Chaim points out, Tosas, remember correctly, Tosas says that's a Din Drabanan. The hacker, whatever it is. He should know that he switched. It makes it clear that he's switched status. There is various nafkah means of switched status in terms of whom he can marry and so on and so forth. Mitzvah says grandma. But Tosas says the whole need for the tefillah b'shal shechar is drabanan. Rambam seems to think that it's a real din daraisa. What type of real din daraisa? So Reb Chaim suggests, Tosas thinks, what type of real din daraisa? Geiris. What do you mean geiris? He already had tefillah l'shem avdus. So Reb Chaim says, yeah, the Rambam thinks that Eved Kenani is partially Jewish. So he's tovah l'shem avdus when he moves from being a nachri to being like a partial geiris to being an Eved Kenani. But then when he moves to being a Jew, a meshuchrar, he has to complete the geiris because now he's going from partial Kedushas Yisrael to full Kedushas Yisrael. That's why Reb Chaim understands the Rambam. That's why the Rambam thinks that the tefillah l'shem shechar is a tefillah d'oraisa. It's the second half of the geiris. We did half the geiris before and half the geiris now. Whereas Tosas, who says the tefillah l'shem shechar is Rabbanan, he thinks that the geiris is full of Jewish. It doesn't need to do a geiris now. The tefillah is a din Rabbanan to solve certain problems. So the Ramban certainly can align with Tosas. Maybe with the Rambam also. Maybe the partial Kedushas Yisrael is good enough. Certainly, if Zedek is a full Kedushas Yisrael, the Eved is Jewish. The Eved is Jewish. So that's what Ramban says. Evadim HaKenuyim Lanu are not Bishalakim because they're not Nachim. You could, a Kohen, Bishul of a Kohen is not Bishul Akum. Bishul of a Levi is not Bishul Akum. Bishul of Israel is not Bishul Akum. It doesn't matter what subdivision of Jew you are. It doesn't matter what Shevet you're from or no Shevet at all. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish. There's no Bishul Akum. The Ramban says that Evid Kenani is Jewish. End of story.
So why is he going
to so that's interesting. So the truth is, he says, that, that actually might explain. Because in Beis Yosef, he says, I think Kosa Aruch Chaim, one of the Rishon of Provence, so the Ramban was Matir Bishul Avadim because they're Jewish, but the Ra'ah disagreed, which is ironic, because the Ra'ah himself says it's Mutter, but for a different reason. So even the Ra'ah disagrees, so maybe Yehuda is giving the solution. The Ra'ah is saying, maybe, that in terms of Ramban's answer, it says, Azrab, the Eved is a Jew who's not allowed to marry other Jews. Eved is usher to marry a Yisraelis. And Shifcha is usher to marry, asur to marry a Yisrael. So in terms of, but they're Jewish, Adra, but they're a type of Jew that can't marry any other Jew. So in terms of that, they would have been a concern, perhaps. But there are other things as much for a different reason, because it's the kafia, the fact that this is forced. It's not a social act. Sorry, what? So that's interesting. That's consistent with what the Ra'ah in Berakabai is quotes the Ramban as being open to this idea. And the truth is, some say fakert, some say, I think the Achronim quote, some say even on the Ra'ah's own side, it's even if you're gonna build the dinim around chasnas, the Ra'ah is making two assumptions and saying that bishul eved is mutter because no chashash chasnas. Number one, he's saying that chashash chasnas matters. Number two, he's assuming that there's less chashash chasnas when it's derech kviyah. But I think in the page of Harach, some will say maybe just the reverse. If it's kfiya, so maybe there's more of a concern of chasnas than that. The shivcha works for this Jewish adam. There's a far greater concern that he may seek intimacy with her, and the Thomas Jefferson situation. Maybe there's more concern of chasnas. It cuts both ways.
He could just free the shivcha, and then she's a Jew.
Sure.
Maybe he has a tremendous financial disincentive. It's a complete way out of it being ever
chasnas. Yeah, but right now she's an asset that he owns. He could free her, but they leave
her side alone. But chasnas implies he wants to marry her. If he ever wants to marry her, he just has to free her. She's Jewish anyway.
Fair enough. So maybe that's what the Ramban
is. The Ramban there was chayim.
Are they not? Yeah. I thought so.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought so.
So Muzar Shvisasa is another way of saying they're an Evi Kanani?
Yeah, that we're Mukhir to make sure they keep Shabbos, which is the Pasuk in Chumash. So what do we have so far? Ra himself says, Eved is mutter because derech kfiyah is noch shashasas. The Ramban, according to Beis Yosef, is saying, Bishul Eved is no isher because he's not a nachri. Then the Darkei Moshe quotes two additional reasons.
I mean, no one seems to think that the Eved is like you. It's like your Kaili. It's like your Kli. You're an Eved Kenanis is like your Kli. It's part of you. It's part of your household. It's like your possession. They can't work on Shabbos like you can't work on Shabbos. It's like no one holds that.
I'm not sure how that would.
Because if it's you, then when you're you're doing the cooking. You're like a robot of yours did the cooking. It's the same thing.
Eved is a. Is a sentient human being with free choice. No. So that may bring us to the scriptures. That may bring us to the third side lahatir. The third side lahatir is The Darkei Moshe quotes the third and fourth, the way we're organizing it, two additional tzadim lahater. In addition to Ra'az saying there's no chassis because it's derech via, the Ramban saying, well, it's no issue because he's not an achri, he's a Jew, kudush yisrael, well, it means full kudush yisrael, like Tosfos, or partial kudush yisrael, like the Rambam. The Darkei Moshe says, well, Tosfos, the top Tosfos on the Chesed and Ralph, quote Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Avraham. Rabbeinu Avraham ben David. I don't think it's the Ravid. I don't think the Ravid, the Provençal. I assume this is a Baal HaTosfos, an Ashkenazi, whose name happened to be Rabbeinu Avraham ben David. I don't know how often this quote in Tosfos. Interesting. But Rabbeinu Avraham, the quote said, there's no Isser Bishalakum when the cooking is happening in a Jew's house. The whole Isser Bishalakum is when the Nachri makes in his house. He made you baked potatoes, and then he brings them over. Ah, geschmack. So that's a warm act of, and the truth is, the Rabbeinu Avraham also. This is another nafkamina in this big chakira, because Rabbeinu Avraham also says the basis. That's what Tosfos quotes. Tatos on chesnal. Well, it isn't such a concern of chasnus, but beis oshal Yisrael. It seems like it's a more of a socially significant act if he made it in his kitchen and he brings it over to you. If he makes it in your kitchen, that's not such shash chasnas. And what's interesting, by the way, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the halacha, but not apparently with the svarish of the davar. Rabbeinu Tam says in Tosas, no. Rabbeinu Tam held Bebeis Yisrael as aser. Why? Because it's similar to what we said about the Eved Derech Kfiya, which one is a great, lesser great Shal Shasnas, and at times says, Adrava, cooking your own house is more of Shal Shasnas. The Nach is ready in your kitchen. You're interacting more, not less. So there are different ways of thinking about it. Maybe different ways of thinking about Chasnas. Whether you're measuring just are you closer or you're measuring sort of the social significance. It's a more significant act along the lines of the Rambam. Be that as it may, Rabbein Avram, number one, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbein Avram, and Rabbein Tam, both, as agreeing with the Ra'oz concept that chasnas matters to the Gidre Adin, and Rabbein Avram specifically, not Rabbein Tam, is the third rationale to matir Bishol Ha'eved. Not because of who he is, but because of where it's happening. Bishol Ha'eved means the Eved is one of your B'nai Ba'is, and he's cooking in your kitchen. That's what the Eved does. That's what the Shifra does. Your kitchen is going to be mutter. And then finally, the Darkei Moshe goes on to quote one more reason. That's from later Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Trumas HaDeshan. God's Shaidur quotes the Trumas HaDeshan that Bishol Ha'eved HaShifcha is mutter also because it's Bebeis Yisrael, but not Rabbein Avram, oh, Bebeis Yisrael, there's no Pshar Shasnas. Says practically, if it's on your stovetop, so, yes, the Nachir was cooking, but the Nachir is cooking in the Jew's kitchen, the Eved, or anyone else, any other Nachir in the Jew's kitchen, says he says, one of the Jews must have poked the fire. The language they use is intriguing. He says, E-Efsher. E-Efsher shlo yuchat ha'echa b'nei ha'bai is big echal. Now, why? Impossible. The Nachir was making soup for 2 hours on the fire. It's impossible that no Jewish member of the household didn't. No one poked the fire. Why is it so impossible? So the answer is, here's a technology difference. Nowadays, if we have stable gas fires or electric fires. You set it and forget it. But B'tkufas HaRishonim, the fire needed tending. You're cooking on top of coals. You're cooking soup on top of coals for 2 hours. It's going to go out if you don't. It's certainly going to go down. If you want to keep a steady fire going, you got to poke it. So, bismanehem, it was just a normal habit. You walk by the stove, give it a poke. That's just what you do. Walk by the stove, you give it a poke. Sometimes. Certainly, over the course of, it's hard to imagine in the Jew's kitchen, the Nachri is cooking, however long it's cooking, it's hard to imagine that no Jew poked the fire at some point. So that's where we then begin to break things down. There are nafkaminas between these various reasons. Let's say the Ramban's reason, the Ra'oz reason, which we came to first, that Ra'oz himself gives in the Berak HaBayis, that it's, well, Derech Kviya, derech kviya, right? What are our reasons? Either derech kviya is no chasus, or Eved HaKanei he's Jewish, or Bebeis Yisrael there's no chasus, or Bebeis Yisrael yefshe shol yechate. Practically, it's not b'shal akim, not because of who's doing it, but because of how it's being done. The din of hishtakfis is all, which we'll get to sifim vav and on. So the no one Eved HaKanei is irrelevant to us. And have it's irrelevant. The other, the Ramban is only being matir if it's mamish and if it's Kanani. The other rationales may apply in contemporary context also, whether it's a question of domestic help or let's say you have a factory owned by a Jew with non-Jewish workers who are operating, or you have a restaurant owned by a Jew, but you always need a Jew in the kitchen. In terms of the kashrus of ingredients, so again, that's a separate issue. Sometimes you need to mashkiach, but sometimes you have a yotiv nechnas. Let's say you don't have fleishik and you don't have other kashrus sensitive items. So you have a yotiv nechnas, you'll maintain the kashrus of you're satisfied with the kashrus of the ingredients and the equipment. The question is bishalakam. Bishalakam. So you have a Chinese restaurant. Let's say everything is vegan. They're doing a lot of stir fries of tofu. But a lot of the vegetables are bishlakim problem. The tofu, I figure out, is tofu bishlakim problem? Probably not. It's very edible. It is. Okay. Yeah, but some of the ingredients are bishlakim sensitive. So, but the Jew owns the restaurant. They have a non-Jew working the wok. So does a Jew have to stick his nose, does he have to poke the coals? Does he have to stir the wok from time to time or not?
It's very hard to say there's costness there.
So that's actually one of the interesting things is by pot, when we said that, yayin has the greatest costness, bishel less than pas, even less, one, and then we said that the coolest correspond. One of the coolest that pas has that bishel does not have is palter. Anytime it's commercial, it's pas is mutter. We don't say that by bishel. We don't say that if that in a restaurant there's no bishlakim. Why? Because pas to begin with is less of a concern of chasnas. That's why that's one of the coolest we're willing to introduce only with pas, but not by bishul.
I mean, if we're willing to be mikel with bezal shel Yisrael and not with bezal shel akum, if it's not with bezal shel Yisrael or with bezal shel akum, it's in a neutral site where there's no. Even though personal contact, the owner of the factory never shows up.
So I think Ramosha Feinstein raises the possibility that I think certainly the OU does not rely on directly. I think most kashrus organizations do not. I think some kashrus organizations are willing to rely on this suggestion of Ramosha as one sniff. Together with the other at Stad Mulhako, and he says, maybe Bishel Palter is not mutter, but Bishel Company is mutter. In other words, Palter means you have a local baker. So he's not baking just for me. It's not quite as strong a gesture of friendship, but I interact with him personally. Right? He's in the restaurant, and I can see him. So he's baking bread for 100 customers, but Lomaisa, I know who he is. So I like his bread, and may, So by bread, we say, look, bread isn't that much of a driver of chassis. But if I like his steak, I like his salmon, that already may be a little more significant. So Rav Moshe says, okay, so we're not making on Bishel Palter, but maybe Bishel Company, there's a canning plant in Montana where they're canning this food. I have zero to do with the people who I wouldn't even know that if I met them on the street. Even if I was eating the food that they cooked while I see no kesha. So that's what he says, maybe. That he raises that possibility. Now again, Beis Yisrael, if it's a Jewish owned factory, so maybe I should say Rabbi Avram. And the poskim do also discuss we say this in Sefal, we're not so excited about Beis Yisrael. Tom again had pointed out, even if you accept chasnas as a driver, it's not clear that it plays out that way.
So are canned peas always kosher, no matter what? Because
there's other.
They're hot. They can be eaten raw. It doesn't matter how they're cooked. It doesn't matter.
This is just about bishlak.
Well,
if you
don't like. Let's say canned carrots are not a bishlakim problem. That is true. Because carrots are edible raw. I don't know if peas are edible raw. Maybe. Okay.
People eat edamame.
Okay. Yeah, edamame is, I think, soy.
Okay.
Could people eat raw peas also? I don't know. Right. So it is true. Then I want to come back to wrap up. It is true. I think we touched on it in the past. That if a food is bishlakim sensitive, the hashkacha cost will be higher because then you need to have a mashkiach there for every single run. Whereas the food is not bishlakim sensitive, I just need to make sure I just need to have a yotze v'nichnas. So again, the poskim do discuss, let's say, employees. So we don't rely on the base Yisrael, but how about this notion of the Ramban? So it's not clear, though. Derech kfiya is one thing, but the fact that they're employees who have the right to leave at will, that's not quite the same derech kfiya.
But it's still not like the most extreme language was like osim merit sonu me ahavas Yisrael.
Right, so you're saying it's sort of in between. Right, it's not a social gesture. Right, it's not a social gesture. It's not a social gesture. The concern is like this. The overall, to wrap it all together, the question is, okay, in all these nafkamiyas, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? Let's say in Sif Dalid, yesh misha matir, yesh misha osar filu b'dyevet. And if you're matir, it's not clear that you're matir mechshashcha, because the chasnas, you can matir because of shurim sedeshen. Yesh shishlo yuchate. And so on and so forth. In Sif Aleph, the Mechaber said, "Beferish, but basis Yisrael aser. I feel, but Kli Yisrael, the basis Yisrael aser Mishum Bishalach." And in Sif Tazayin, and in Sif Gimel, we said Beferish that if it's Nivla, it's a problem. Sif Tazayin, the Ramah had said that the Chol is Mutter Kodek Keira Ika. But the Grod said, maybe not. And Shulchan Aruch had raised the question of Kalim and had left it as an open issue. It does need Hechsher. Yeshom, it does not need Hechsher. Now again, you could say that it needs Hechsher. The Hechsher, as we said before, the Ritva, the Shachir quotes from what we had said, the Ritva says, You can differentiate between food and you can differentiate between food and kalim. Now we said in Sif Gimel, the food is a problem, the blias are a problem. The shachir though says if there's rov, the shach says it'll be batel berov. There's rov betavshal, sorry, the bishal akam batel berov. That may be the shach saying that we don't really say tam kicker. Whereas, or at least b'dyeved, we're not going to throw out the food. While the gra before had said, no, we care about blias. We care about blias. So it's far from clear that we're willing to make like the ra'az svara at all. The Ramah does seem to be open. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to be somewhat hesitant, and then Achronim seem to be divided. So it seems like B'dieved, Ashkenazim would probably be Mekel, but with the Poelim, so it's not clear that...
Why does the Shulchan Aruch say it's okay to eventually use the Kli Shel Cheres?
Yeah, so that last law, that last clause in Sif Tazayin, that's even if, that's the Gra points out, based on the Yerushalmi, that says that when you have an Issa Drabanan, a low-level Issa Drabanan, Drabanan She'en Lo Iker Min HaTorah, so then we are willing to kasher cheres with an extra strong type of heksha. So that's, since it's a low-level Issa Drabanan, Chazal, when they created Issa Drabanan, specifically Issa Drabanan Kal, Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah, they built in, but if you do a triple Hagala on the cheres,
slope.
That's good enough. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch points out. Even if you say like the Rashba, but certainly it is a low level Issa Drabanan. It's a Drabanan She'en Lo Iker Min HaTorah. It's not just an extension of an Issa D'oraisa. it is a drabban that's totally independent of any daraisa. So at least we'll apply that if and that's how we assume la halacha, that if there was a bishalakam catastrophe and the nachris or the nachri wanted to be friendly and as a birthday present wanted to make you your favorite eggs in bed, and now it turns out it was a well intentioned, but the scrambled eggs are treif, the omelet is treif, that's for sure. And the question is about the kelim. Halacha l'maaseh, we would insist on kashering the kelim. But on the other hand, you can kasher even the cheres if you do this three rounds of Haggadah, that even the Rosh would agree to, because that's again, that's Yerushalmi, the Gra sentence to, that Drabban on Shein Lokim in HaTorah, the Blias and Cheres can be, a triple Haggadah will remove enough, or remove everything, but remove enough that we're no longer concerned about Tom Kicker on such a low level as Drabban. We are not done with this Chakira. We're going to see this Chakira is going to recur again in Sifhei, and it's going to recur again in the question of Kavanah Sanachri, and you recur again very vigorously when we get to the details of Sifav and on, but the question of how much Jewish participation do you need? Timater, this is going to come back again.